You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
And you're back on the high ice, trudging across this wasteland, day 61. In the distance, you see six monolithic towers. Three of them stretch a couple thousand feet into the sky.
Wow. A couple thousand feet?
You push on. And soon you can see nestled within these six spires a city where you are destined to go. There are no signs of life. So the city itself looks completely abandoned. The streets have been broken in half by a series of fissures in the ground.
Oh. There's bodies all over the place.
It's like outlines of ash bodies.
Oh my
God. Or are they real?
As all of you approach, that wind that was whipping through, it sounded like whispers. Give up yourself. Untold power will be yours. Everybody roll a will save.
Oh, let's fucking go.
Fail. Yik and Zephyr, the voice really speaks to you where you kind of lean over the edge. And I just jump right in.
The adventure continues. Now.
Dropping my boys off at school this morning, and my son, my oldest, had a Star Wars book he was looking at, and he...
I like Star Wars.
We were just talking about Star Wars before we went live, but I had thought about bringing this up this morning, and he points at a picture, and he goes, this says Boba Fett, but it's just a little kid. And I'm like, yeah, so... In Attack of the Clones, his dad, they like kind of forced, because he was so popular, they forced his dad into it so that he could be a kid. And he's like, was he an evil kid? I'm like, no. He gets mad when
his
dad dies.
It's not a bad kid.
It's stupid. It's just stupid. And I got so angry. I was like, it was really dumb. It's so bad.
It is. And there's this whole movement, these apologists for the prequels.
Stop. Yeah, I know.
And it's like, I can't. I fucking can't do it. I can't let you people pretend those were good movies. Can't do it.
Is this directly related to, is the apologist movement directly coming from kids that were like 9 years old when they came out?
That's all it is.
Yeah, they're coming of age now. Now they have a voice.
They do have a voice. They shouldn't use it. But the thing is, is like, not only do they say, oh, the movies were good, but like they're under the delusion that everyone thought they were good at the time as well, because like they were, you know, talking to other kids who would just say, that's awesome, it's lightsabers and everything, so they think it's just like, and then there's
I'm trying to explain it to him without getting angry, and like shoving Boba Fett in. It's like, people like Boba Fett. Let me put Boba Fett. That was like if I put Tom Exposition in Gatewalkers. It's that stupid.
It is very.
And people would love it.
People would love it, but people are stupid.
There is a part of me that really enjoys when Star Wars fans get mad about stuff.
I don't want to be that guy, but
it's the easiest fandom, I think, to like rile people up, no matter what your take is.
You love riling people up. You're good at that.
I like watching it in a friendly, fun way. When it gets serious, I don't like it. When people start being mean, I don't like it. But I loved when Mandalorian came out. My funniest thing would be to tell people and ask people if Mandalorian was Boba Fett. And it was so funny to see that.
You have a lot of those.
Did you hear that heavy sigh?
When we were in Toronto, we get out the cab and she's like, look, it's the Space Needle. She does this shit all the time.
It's a good bet. That's a good bet.
And the Mandalorian was the funniest one. I would just say stuff casually. And I'd be like, well, Mandalorian is Boba Fett. And people, there'd be a pause and people would go, wait, what? And I would go, Mandalorian's Boba Fett. You're going to find out. It's Boba Fett.
She practices this.
You're like, sorry, I didn't like, mean to spoil it.
I didn't mean to spoil it.
You're going to find out. Like,
Boba Fett. They wear the same kind of clothes.
So. I don't want to shit on the Mandalorian, but even the Mandalorian.
Are you going to shit on the
like,
Mandalorian?
People like Boba Fett. Let's make another one.
Yeah.
It's so lowest common denominator.
What about Baby Yoda?
Again, like people like Yoda. Yeah. And he
make
died.
A little tiny
Let's
one.
Make a baby Yoda.
It's a little baby. People love babies.
It confuses the next generation because they're like, it's Baby Yoda. It's Yoda. It's like, it's not.
It's not. Guru.
It's pandering garbage.
What's the name? Guru?
Grogu.
And then you try to explain that.
His dog's name.
Is it Grogu?
Yeah.
So I had the kids watch 4, 5, and 6. That's where I began.
You talked about this recently. Yeah.
Yeah. This year, 4, 5, and 6. They loved it and were very excited to like, they're like, there's 9 of them. Like, let's watch more. And I'm like, I don't want to like stifle their love. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like sitting there. I'm like, cool. Yeah, one day, but like, let's just
watch New Hope again.
Let's move on with our lives. Very easy to
you
distract
let them
kids.
Watch
you
them
talk about
now
something else for a second.
While they're still they'll enjoy them.
No, I know. I will. I know. I just don't know quite where to go. So then I decided, okay, I'm going to let them watch whatever they want to watch after they watch 4, 5, and 6 again.
Okay.
You need to watch all 3 a second time. Now, this is not a big ask. They watch the same movie 100 times.
Sure.
And so I'm like, you got to watch this one a second time. And they were like, all in. So we watched all 3 again. Then I gave them the choice. You could go to 1 or you could go to 7. And
Wow. And
they went to 7. They chose 7.
Oh,
okay. And okay. I was like, Wow. Okay, let's do 7. Part of it is got an amazing copy of the Lego Star Wars game from Naish member at while we were on tour.
Yep. Mm.
We played that a little bit. And the front person on the cover is Rey.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so they were a little like, who's Rey? You know, she comes in the 7th movie. So they like the idea of meeting Rey. I'm like, all right, cool. So we watched the 7th movie. They were like, that was awesome. I'm like, great. And then like,
and I felt the same know, way the first time I saw it.
I feel like I've seen it before.
Oh, this is the best part. Oh, this is the best. This is amazing. I forgot this part. Oh, this is so good. The early in the movie, I didn't remember it. I had seen it once, right? Early in the movie.
Start with me on opening night.
Yeah, so with you on opening.
Times Square.
Early in the movie, they're on the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. And relatively early in the movie, Han Solo and Chewbacca come on to take back the Millennium Falcon from Rey.
Chewie, we're home.
Yeah, exactly. From Rey and Finn, right? So they're on the ship and in come Han Solo and Chewbacca. And my daughter literally did like a double take. I don't know what this, she was like startled.
Yeah.
And she went, that is not Han Solo. And I was like, it is. He's older. Like it's many years later. And she goes, I don't like this. I don't like this. And she was like dead serious. She put a blanket up to like her eyes. And then when she saw Leia, she was like, I don't like this. I don't like that. That is not Leia. And it made me feel so sad about getting old.
From the mouth
and
of
I tried to explain to them. I was like, you're going to get old someday too. Oh like, gosh. We're all going to get old.
I don't like this.
I don't like this.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're all thinking.
Yeah.
Would you ever, this makes me think of something that I think kids would find confusing. If you were to watch chronologically, like if you started at Rogue One and then went to A New Hope.
Started at Andor.
I guess start at Andor if you're going to really start.
We can't show Andor.
It's too inappropriate.
We'll start at Knights of the Old Republic.
Stop it.
Really start.
Just
start
films.
At Acolyte.
Just films. I think it probably would be jarring, even for me, to go from like a 2016 film to a 1970 something film, then to the 80s, then to the, I don't know. Like, do you think the kids would get it?
I don't think the kids really notice anything in terms of special effects or cinema style or anything like
that. They notice that Leia got fucking old.
Well, yeah. I mean, they noticed, you know, for sure. The characters.
Looks like a different person.
Yeah. To them, it looks like a different person.
Yeah.
So it's. It's hard to explain to them how much time had passed in the tapings. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, she did not like see it at Luke. She was like, "That's not Luke." She kept saying it. That's not them. That's
no, she's not wrong.
Like, yeah, yeah.
In many ways, they're not those characters. She's right.
It's on so many levels. Yes,
fun fanfic.
But anyway, we're working our way through it. We're watching 8, and we had to get stopped in the middle of 8. So we're working our way through it.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah, you go back to those prequels because the kids now, I just like, go crazy. I don't want to get angry. And then I just watch it and I'm like, what? So it's so unbelievably bad. Like Anakin and Padme are in a field just having a picnic.
Oh, yeah.
Who? Why didn't anyone tell him this was bad? And you just feel bad for the guy because like he obviously... He made amazing movies, had unbelievable creative choices. You start to wonder like how much the other people around him were controlling it. But it's just
so much of it was Gary Kurtz.
Yeah.
The producer on like even like some of the like shitty decisions that I don't like in Return of the Jedi were after Kurtz got pushed out, like just using the Death Star again. Like that was something that Gary Kurtz pushed against. He wanted Han Solo to die. I think that would have been an incredible choice to make for the third movie. And you know, again, he forced Kurtz out and he kind of went his own way without the pushback. You can see what kind of, with George Lucas Unleashed, the kind of, you know, and I think it's like with any creative. It's
any.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, there are some exceptions, right? Like you can have like a work of amazing art that is like because it was untouched and it came from one mind, it can be amazing.
Yeah. But so many of those guys, like, they have other restraints that they're working against.
Right.
With like Coppola and like Apocalypse Now or anything. It's just like it's either budgetary or like, you know, your actor shows up 30 pounds overweight. You got to work around it. Where like Lucas, he's like, we're doing everything on a green screen. He has all the money in the world. No one telling him no. No obstacles at all. And it's just like, that's not a key. That's not how you make something a good piece of art.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Did you watch the Pee Wee Herman documentary yet?
Not yet. Is that out yet?
Yeah. It's great. I just finished it last night. And it's tragic and very, very sad. But it's like after the success of Pee Wee's Big Adventure and the kids show and everything, they made Big Top Pee Wee and it just bombed. And it's like,
good.
Yeah, it just, it wasn't, it was, I remember being in the movie theater as a child and being like, this is not
good.
I don't remember that at all.
It has like a 4-minute makeout scene. And it's very, very strange.
Yeah,
he was like, I'm going to do the longest makeout scene. But you got to watch the doc. It's very, very sad.
I definitely want to watch the doc.
I remember watching Pee-wee's Big Adventure 50 times.
Oh,
like that is a great movie.
Over and over.
That is a great movie. I still watch that like every 4 months or so.
It was Tim Burton's first feature.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. It's Tim Burton's first feature. He was like an unknown.
Didn't realize that.
Kate, have you not seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
It's my favorite movie.
Kate! It was my favorite growing up until The Karate Kid.
Do one of his famous lines.
In The Voice.
Any line?
Yeah, just in the voice. In Pee-wee's.
So many.
Pee-wee's voice.
Famous lines.
Oh, Pee-wee.
That's wow, that's...
I feel like he's in the room. Man.
I've never watched like a single Pee-wee Herman thing.
For how many directions you could have gone in? Not bad. Pretty close.
He talks high-pitched, right? Or something?
He's kind of all
over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now do Mr. Bean's famous line.
Mr. Bean's?
Never got into that.
Yeah, I didn't really.
British humor sometimes goes one way and you're just
that's not for me. Rowan Atkinson
this whole world over here is not
massive Rowan Atkinson fan. Don't like Mr. Bean.
Can't do Mr. Bean.
Also, he doesn't really talk. That was the joke. Mr. Bean doesn't really say anything.
I knew that. That's why I laughed at you. You're ridiculous. Just one of those Sydney jokes.
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess the point of all this is you can create something great and then the follow-up to it might be underwhelming.
I don't know.
We'll be right back after this break.
I would be thinking about that now, but...
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Look, there are a lot of celebrity interview podcasts out there, but there's only one Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz, and yeah, I'm the host of the show, so I'm a little biased, but truly, Happy, Sad, Confused is the place for nerdy and intimate conversations with all your favorite actors and filmmakers. From Andrew Garfield and Scarlett Johansson to Christopher Nolan, casting what-ifs, backstage stories, and much more. Listen to Happy, Sad, Confused on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sticklish business any way you look at it. Come on, we'll stick together.
Love movies? Love classic movies? So do we. Ticklish Business is the podcast where classic film is discussed in modern times. Hosted by me, film journalist Kristen Lopez, and my co-host, author Emily Edwards, we dive into the golden age of cinema with fun, heart, and serious expertise. As published film historians and lifelong classic movie buffs, we bring insider insights, deep research, and lively debates with a variety of special guests, ranging from celebrities like Holly Madison to TCM luminaries Dave Karger and Eddie Muller, and even family members of old Hollywood legends. Subscribe now to Ticklish Business on your favorite podcast app, and let's talk about old Hollywood today.
Folks, we're back. I want to thank our sponsors, Norse Foundry. Look, I got 3d6 ready to go.
I just rolled a natural 20.
646.
Foundry.
Natural 20. Just did it.
So,
just did it.
Nat 20?
Nat 20. Just did it. Just did it.
Woo!
Five.
I did not do great on my 3d6. Norse Foundry has another... They are always coming up with new stuff.
Cockamamie schemes.
And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, particularly Sydney. They're coming out with, we were in a meeting with them the other day, and they're talking about these new dice that are coming out. They are bouncy, scented.
Come on.
Scented dice that come in these unique cans. So the cans are like collectible, and the dice have all different odors, like scents, and they don't. What? And they, I don't know.
Like
I don't know
the example. It's like fart.
This is very dice. Like this is very new.
Popcorn.
But
stench dice.
They are coming. They are coming out. But apparently, I don't have a physical one yet. They were like, we're working on them, but I think people are going to love them. They bounce around and they have all these different smells. So they were like for people that want to add scents. Literal S-E-N-S-E, like different sensory
I like that.
Dynamics to their game.
Like, I like that, and I think that's fun for DMs, especially in GMs, where it's like, you know, if the smells are like old leather or something, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, you're in like a bookshop or something, or moss, you know, it's like, oh, that's like fun.
Earthy.
Randy Moss.
I wonder if it's like that or if it's just all like perfumed or flowery. I'm not sure.
Randy Moss scented
that. Perfumey is fine, but if it's just
like Randy Moss.
Cotton candy. I don't know if I love it, but we'll see. I'm curious about what scents.
I am very
honestly,
curious to
a
see.
A bouncy dye. I'm into that.
Here you die. A bouncy die.
Bouncy die.
Yeah, that's what we need. Dice just falling out of our... Hold on.
For a live show.
It would be fun, though, to have a D20 that's like a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I love a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, great.
Yeah. Super Bowl is still around, man. If you take your kids any of those places where like they play games and then get tickets, and they stink at those games, you can always get a one-ticket Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Five-ticket Super Bowl.
You should build a plexi like square with high enough walls and just get a bouncy die just for the table, not a huge one. Not for the room.
I'm just looking around.
And we should just like you toss the die in, you know, it's like boing, 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 and then it just lands where it lands.
Or a fishbowl with like a small opening and you throw it in, let it go crazy.
That's fun.
Camera on it, and then we don't have to worry.
And then pick up the fishbowl.
It smells like
fish.
It's like, oh,
that smells like
turmeric.
Fish. It's the first thing I thought of.
It seems like a very singular experience, though. Like, if I have leather and you have ass and you have popcorn, like, it's great for me, but he's just smelling ass and she's smelling butter and salt.
I want to see the choices. I want to see.
Yeah, I want to see. I'm very excited.
That's going to be important. That's
I hope it's Patriots era Randy Moss and not Vikings.
We're recording this way in advance. I think even when it comes out, they're not going to be out, but check the description. There might be more info.
I hope
by the time this
comes
out.
Comes
out, check the episode description. If there might be a link or something.
Okay.
Also want to thank our other sponsor, Foundry Virtual Tabletop. What are you doing? What are you doing if you're using anything else? Got a great map we're popping into today. And also, if you didn't hear the news, we're doing another retreat this year in Nashville in October.
Yeah, baby.
October 9th or 10th through the 12th. We're going to be doing a Glass Canning Live back at City Winery, the home of last year's Devil Went Down to Georgia show.
The last year's show of the year.
Show of the year.
Show of the year.
The last year's show of the year.
Last year's show of the year was
easily,
Nashville.
Easily. Everyone was out of control. And we're combining
that.
What
if the retreat had anything to do with that?
Yeah.
What if that factored in?
It's just like hanging out with your friends. But we're doing another retreat. A couple packages probably still available at glasscannonnetwork.com/retreat. Come play games with us. But we are going to play this game today and only for a few more days, I think. I think
you're out of your mind.
A few more days?
We're winding it down. It's time to come on. Get it all out.
You're out of your mind. There's no way this ends in the next couple of days. There's too many storylines to wrap up.
I mean,
once we defeat and re-imprison Osoyo, we have to start the long trek to find Ramius's brother.
What about Buggles?
Loose end.
What about Buggles?
Well, Buggles is going to be sacrificed.
To
imprison Osoyo. Like,
I think that's pretty clear.
Maybe also
100% death.
Maybe also you will. Maybe your brother will be Osoyo.
Your brother was Osoyo the whole.
Welcome home, brother.
See, that never sounds like
of that.
That sounds like something George Lucas would do.
Yeah, exactly. I should write movies.
Or Osoyo is Tom exposition.
Yeah,
that's what George
Lucas. Osoyo was Tom.
Hey guys, you've been looking for me the whole time.
Razzmatazz or something stupid. Osoyo was really razzmatazz.
Is this what you want?
Razzmatazz is son Jazzmatazz.
There's only six characters in the whole galaxy.
So dumb.
Every planet has one biome.
You guys know. I don't know if we talked about this on air, Skid, but you know the conspiracy theory that Jar Jar Binks is actually a Sith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine if that's the direction we went in and we played to that kind of, you know, whatever conspiracy, it would be Hubert.
Yeah.
Truly.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Hubert would be Osoyo.
You flash back and every scene, Hubert's in the background, you know, like.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, he's certainly the Jar Jar Binks of the story.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I
think that's absolutely.
Real dirty Jar Jar Binks. Well, you have made it to the crown of the world. You have made it to the Nameless Spires. It was a harrowing journey across the high ice that tested not only your physical strength, but your mental strength as well.
I have a question.
Bring it.
Meta question.
Do it.
Do you think the Nameless Spires was a dope choice by an author or a group of authors sitting around the table? Or do you think they just couldn't come up with something and were like, the Nameless Spires actually sounds
what
pretty
should
cool.
We call them?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I wonder how it went down in that writer's room.
It was the working title. And then they're like,
I like to think that
is there a good
Nameless
reason why they're
Spires is just what everyone refers to them as because it's like they've been around since pre-Earth fall.
Yes.
So no one knows what they were. I don't think when the original builders are like, what should we call it? Nameless Spires. Yeah. I think that like that's what it's known as now to everyone.
Sure.
So the whole point of them was to like warn people to not release Osoyo. And there's like something I read somewhere where it's like, oh, if you had like nuclear fallout somewhere and you wanted to prevent like life from thousands of years from now from messing with it, you wouldn't like write something down. You'd make it look like ominous because they may not speak your language or something anymore. So you wouldn't have like a sign that says, this is where the radioactive stuff is. Please don't come in. It'd just be like this nameless, terrifying place.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly is terrifying because when you get there, there is this, there's six spires. One of them seems to be like changing in color and something as your memories of the missing moment have come back. You don't remember seeing this here. There's like a wind that's whipping this black, maybe black frost up and down. And it's sort of connecting it to the hexagonal temple in the middle of the city, which you now know is the first and last temple of, first and last temple.
That was far away.
The one here.
Akakaru.
Akakaru.
Yes. And so there's some connection going on here. You're not sure if there's obviously something magical going on, but it's not clear which direction. Is the tower powering something that is happening at the temple? Is the temple giving off an energy to the spire? What does it all have to do with? You would assume it has to do with the return of Osoyo, but it's all very unclear. As you start to traverse the streets here, you realize that the earth has like sort of yawned open with these rifts that may or may not contain black frost.
The earth itself has been rent.
You look across at the base of this tower where all this shit's going on, and you see bodies everywhere. You see bodies on the map, and it seems like some of the bodies are like involved in something. They're swaying and sitting up. Maybe it's just this wind, but then there is another figure that might be conducting what's going on here. There's obviously something happening at the base of that tower, but to even get there, you're going to have to cross these massive rifts. As you approach the rifts, you hear sounds. At first, it sounds like wind whistling through these holes. But then as you listen further, the wind sounds like voices, voices that are speaking to you, luring you in. You all rolled a will save. Zephyr and Gick failed. And as they stand at the edge of this precipice, you almost feel as if you want to jump in. The two of you are stupefied. One.
My goodness.
Damn it. I just got unstupid.
So you're stupid again. And talk to me role-playing wise. What this moment feels like for you. That moment of vertigo where you're starting to feel the world around you get hollow. And there is a not so much a fear of jumping, but a desire to jump.
Yeah, I think for Gick, it's like, yeah, everything kind of gets quiet behind her, Ramius and Buggles talking, even Zephyr, who's next to her as we both look. And I think it's that feeling of falling. Like she feels like she's already falling into this huge crevasse. And it feels nice because everything would be so far in the distance. All her worries, all the future anxieties of what they have to do, what they must do. It's like her mind is going blank as she, you know, the ground crumbles a little bit as her foot edges a little closer to the edge.
Sure, it falls in.
Ting, 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 ting. And that's this feeling. She just feels like she's already let go and she's just waiting to drop.
Wow.
What about Zephyr?
Yeah, I feel like she's also like standing next to Gick, looking over the edge and feeling the pull, and it feels like right. And so much of how they've been led and controlled from the beginning, it's like we're finally here and it's just so dark and cozy down there. And what if we did just do what it wants? Maybe it'd be fine. Who knows? Who cares?
I care.
Ramius cares.
We can't hear you.
Well, when the Doom is speaking to you.
Yeah.
Ramius and Buggles, for his part, Hubert, I think you see this sort of moment of them teetering on the edge there. What, if anything, do you do? Because you felt that lure, but you were able to withstand against it. You look up ahead at them, and you see that something is affecting their psyche.
Yeah, I think Ramius feels that pull for a moment and then has this... his connection to the Keeper sort of reforged yet again, over and over again. It's loosened and reforged as he's moving through this landscape alone and away from all of his people and his traditions and all that stuff. And I think that he just feels like he gets this overwhelming sense, like from a power beyond, that's just like, not yet kind of vibe, you know? And, you know, you have work to do. And he feels that he is lucky to have that. And as he turns and looks at Gick, maybe he can see Gick sort of leaning out. And he just slowly steps up. He's like, no, Gick, no. And he puts a hand out and sort of like pulls you back slightly from the edge. And he'll turn you around, look at you in the eyes. Just be like, there's bodies everywhere. There is an overwhelming call to this place. It's the call of death. The comfort that it could offer. The release from this cold, from this exhaustion. I feel it too. You cannot give in. Not yet. We have work to do first. And I'm going to attempt to tree condition.
Okay. She's kind of like looking at you through you around.
Yeah. See if I can get this stupefied down for you. So this would be against the DC of the effect.
Okay.
Anybody wonder?
Gick turns away from Ramius.
Blood coming out of your nose.
Jumps into the pit.
And, he is.
It just does this.
Yeah.
Takes a nasty plunge.
Trust fall.
My God.
She whispers under her breath as she turns her back away from Ramius and says, trust fall.
She, if I'm not mistaken, becomes stupefied too.
Awesome.
From my natural one.
Okay, so I'll it's just like,
What the fuck are you talking about?
It'd be
about?
Better if you didn't have
that.
I know. Thanks, Kate. It would be better if I didn't play.
She's right. Cool.
I think that's what we're all saying.
So yeah, Gick kind of holds Ramius' shoulder as he's like telling her all this deep stuff, and she goes, I agree with you. You don't have to tell me twice. And she turns, and it looks like she's about to push Zephyr into the hole.
Whoa.
So she turns away from you. We're all right next to each other. And she puts a hand on Zephyr's back, and she says, we could all do it together. Be free. Soyo doesn't tell us what to do if we make the decision first. Right?
No.
It'd be nice to do it together rather than alone.
That's it.
Our friends died alone.
She grabs Zephyr's hand.
We hold hands.
That is Asoyo. That is what you hear, the call of Asoyo. He's down there. He's trying to bring you to him.
What if we just gave Asoyo one of them? Just as a sort of trophy.
It grabs Hubert's hand too.
Not me.
Let's go.
Hubert, that's crazy.
Ready bites and holes.
If that was an option, which one would you choose?
Well, I guess I could flip a coin, as it were, but we'll take a vote.
Well, there's no way across anyway, so we either jump or not.
Buggles.
Buggles is, he feels that initial compulsion too, but the self-preservation drive from the Kulu Khan immediately puts a stop to that. And then he turns around and sees what's happening, and just instinctively, like, he reaches out with mage hand to just like yank Zephyr like back by the collar, just to kind of like snap her out of it. Can't like force her back or anything or move her, but it just like reaches out and like grab you by the collar and just like kind of snap you out of it.
And whether it's that action by Buggles / the Kula Khan or something else, your stupefied goes away, and you made stupider by Ramius.
Aren't we all?
Within,
all you had to do was grab her.
After a minute by the doctor, by the psychiatrist, the trained medical person.
Does mine also go down one now?
No, you, within 60 seconds or so, you come back to normal. Normal.
So not stupefied.
Yeah, no longer stupefied.
I feel like when Buggles pulls back, it snaps Zephyr out of it. We're holding hands, and she grips her hand a little tighter.
You do one of these?
And we do the wave.
And now you're no longer stupid.
But like that tight grip maybe starts to slowly bring you out of it.
Yeah, I almost feel like your nails. Like we were gripping way too hard. She comes out of it and she turns to Ramius. Did you tell me to jump?
No, of course I didn't tell you to jump. Tried to get through to you. That call.
Felt like you were telling me to jump and to push Zephyr into it.
Yes.
What?
There is some evil magic here.
I felt so stupid after I talked to you.
Let's keep talking about it. That makes me feel much better. Let's keep discussing.
I was already feeling pretty dumb.
I was feeling dumb.
Talk to you.
Hey, Buggles. Thank God you did whatever you did.
Jesus.
Truly are a god.
Thank you, Kula Khan and Buggles. All right, so then, sorry. So she did, maybe she doesn't hurt your feelings that much.
Just a little.
Just enough.
A little. Yeah.
So, okay. Not gonna jump. I'm cool. I'm not gonna do nothing crazy. How do we get across here? I don't know. It looks way too deep.
Is there a way around?
Let's look around. Yes. Perhaps there's another way around.
But I mean, everything looks like it.
Yeah. So we'll see my ruler here. I threw on here from where you're standing. It's about 50 feet across. That would be a pretty tricky jump. Obviously, Buggles now has the ability to fly. So you're not too worried about him, but he probably doesn't have the strength to carry you across. You do see to the north, while every street is sort of rivened by these chasms, there is, if you kind of backtracked and came around to the north, those holes up there look to be, there's
narrower.
A route where they're like 10 feet across that you'd maybe have to jump or create some sort of bridge across three 10-foot chasms to get to that
We don't see what you're talking about at all.
Okay, I will ping.
I see you pinging something, but it's all
it's all dark black on the map, and we don't have a way to get there.
Can't see up there. All right, so let's say, for example, I put Ramius. Yeah, all right, and Ramius. There's two Ramiuses on the map now. Can you see yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. So opening up the map there, you see that there is a little, a much thinner.
I don't think we can
chasm.
See. Let me reload.
Well, only Ramius.
Yeah, I can. Oh. I can see what you said. Yeah, yeah. But we'd have to backtrack, and we can't see where to backtrack. So
okay. Well, you just tell me you want to. You tell me you want to go over there. I get you over there.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll go over that way. So yeah, upon Zephyr's suggestion, you know, try to find another way around. We start walking all around, and that leads us to backtracking a bit, going up to the north. And then finding, this one is not so bad. Only, 5-10 feet across. I could make that.
These are not bad. This is doable.
A lot more doable than that, particularly thick rift.
I love how you called a 50-foot gap a tricky jump. You're right.
It's a little tricky.
That would be a little tricky.
A swimming pool.
For 10th level heroes.
10th level heroes. Little matrix jump.
So with our adventurers back.
Boom!
Like, I have rope. Would it make sense for me to go first, have rope, just in case, like, someone
and then we can tie. Each person can just tie it and jump across.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
This is a precaution, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Zephyr, be careful. Give her room.
Good luck.
Let her get a running start.
Oh, Hubert's still here?
Yes. Great. Here with you, with my little goggles.
All right, she ties the rope around her waist, passes it to... Who's going to go second?
Who's the strongest in the group right
now?
We
all have to hold it.
Probably.
For Zephyr, we all have to
hold it. Yeah, we all hold it. We all hold it.
We all hold the slack.
All right. And then athletics or acrobatics? I always get confused between the two.
I think it's athletics.
Okay, great. That one's my best one.
And if you, let's see, jump.
DC 15 athletics to make the long jump.
Is it 15 feet across? The DC,
You could just probably leap for free.
It's 10 feet across.
Yeah, there's places it looks like it's 5.
I'm just
checking
my feet right now to see if there's
10
new.
Feet.
Yeah, so a horizontal jump, for a leap, a horizontal jump up to 10 feet horizontally if your speed is at least 15, or up to 15 feet if your speed is at least 30, you land in the space with your leap, where your leap ends.
So we don't
So yeah, there's no roll.
Oh, okay. So
there's no roll for this. You're good.
Great.
So she just like casually just like takes one step and leaps over like very gingerly.
Hey, look at her go.
Better safe than sorry, though. So here's the rope. Jumps over.
Good. We'll have to make the rope wider to get around Gik's waist than it was around your waist. Is it adjustable?
I'm not.
Unbelievably rude.
I'm not overweight. I'm just short.
No, just stockier than Zephyr.
Not even that stocky.
I mean,
can you hear?
I'm thicker than
him. Can you hear him?
I'm thicker than her. I have way more muscles, Hubert.
Yes, but you're lithe and feminine.
Hey, Hubert. I'm going to punch you in the face when you jump over here if you talk crap again.
Sorry. Just praising you.
No rope for Hubert.
Praising you in your self-control.
No rope for Hubert. We're out of rope. No more rope for Hubert. So, out of rope, unfortunately. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead, Spiky Mouse? I got your back.
It's right. Sort of like Jar Jar in that there's no story justification for the other characters to continue to put up with it.
It's just enough pity.
That's like we've tried to get rid of him a few times and somehow he's still here.
Yeah, I think that's what my main problem with like Phantom Menace is just like,
I fought for him.
Make some benefit to having him around and it just they never provide one.
Well, his alliance with the Gungas. They need him for his sort of hookup with...
He's an exile. They hate him.
They really do. Even his own people.
Does Hubert have to roll with his speed and size?
No, he actually backflips over.
Oh, okay.
I'm not interested in role playing jumps.
Okay. And Gik jumps across.
Okay, so all of you make your way across.
I'm actually going to fly.
Oh, so
hell yeah.
Fly across.
Like an eagle?
To the sea. I'm going to, he just like looks down at his feet and just like, like is launched up into the air with this in this fiery burst. And flies across both of these gaps.
Yeah.
And
so you've cast fly on yourself. How long does that last?
Is it a minute.
A minute. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you burn fly and you go across both gaps with ease.
Yeah. And then it's like, how does this work with the deviant? It's a the backlash thing. Different.
Oh, this is your
DC
5.
Okay, 16. So.
Okay, so now should you use this ability again today? It'd be DC 10.
That's a ability you'll definitely use again.
You'll want to use again, yeah.
Probably.
Awesome. All right, so just... you fly over.
He just kind of stumbles a little bit on landing. It's just this unnatural movement for him. He's just... I can fly. I can fly.
You almost feel like your abilities are being enhanced, all of you, by a return to the name of the spires here. The closer you get to the one who gifted these powers to you, the more powerful you feel.
Much as the Ringwraiths, as they get closer to Mordor.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
So you make it across these first two, and it looks like you can walk up to a wider sort of intersection and then move southwesterly to another area that seems very easily jumpable to get to where this shit is going on. But now you see there are beings up there. So tell me how you'd like to approach if your goal is
when you say
stealth.
Beings, you just mean bodies?
Dead bot. Well,
so now that you're, you know, about 120 feet or so away, there is a lot of this black frost on the ground, which doesn't seem to be bothering you. You know, you saw how it affected Ilvari in the Temple of Findalad Lara, but you've come in contact with this now several times, and it's almost as if you're immune to its effects, or maybe this black frost is benign. You feel as if you've been granted yet some other power of immunity against this black frost. But it makes it a little difficult to see ahead the way it's sort of thickly carving its way up and into these rifts, but it looks like several bodies on the ground, not all of them are moving, in various states of decomposition, but there are five or six laying on the ground that are like bending at the waist, and their arms are up, and it looks like they're chanting towards this tower. And behind them, there is a figure that is standing, feminine figure, long cape, that is leading this chant ritual.
We're pretty far away, but does she seem undead? Does she seem like another skeleton?
Her features are hard to discern from here. You definitely get a feminine shape.
She robed?
No, she's wearing like a long black cape. There is an air of regality to her.
Oh, Skywatch, Queen of Skywatch.
Oh, wow.
Fuck, I gotta find her name. Hold on.
Queen Equendia?
Equendia.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Queen Equendia of Skywatch, leading a journey north to the crown of the world.
Yes.
Wow. You think this is gonna be her?
Has to be.
Calling your shot?
Has to be.
Yeah.
Let's all have bottle caps. Oh. Like I haven't given out caps in a while. Let's have some caps.
Oh, great.
I am happy, but also nervous.
Yeah.
I'm dreaming.
Wait, I can only do this for a couple more eps, so.
Christmas.
Hey, Yumi.
What?
You took both of them.
I did?
Yeah, you took both of them.
No, I did.
It's
over to you. There. Oh, man, that is a beat up. That seems like a bottle cap I'd get.
Thank you, Santa.
A piece of crap. Trash.
No, but it is Raga. Raga Bear Daughter.
Oh, Raga's...
What'd you get? Glass Cannon Labs? Me too.
Yay.
Twins.
The Labs.
Twinsies. So you got some caps to dap. Talk to me about your approach here.
Maybe.
You can also turn north and go towards the temple. But you are here.
We could try talking.
We could try talking to her. We must be Queen Equendia. But what makes me nervous is how Riddleson admired what she became. I can only imagine she must have become a thrall to Isoyo, right? They must be worshipping it.
But so are we, right? Like, we're here. We're not doing nothing wrong.
We're not worshipping it, though.
She seems rather invested in her ritual.
What if she sends her thralls to jump over the crevasse at us?
I mean, in my mind, they all think we're here for Isoyo, for our mission, right? We're supposed to come back here. We're doing everything that we were supposed to be doing anyway.
You are suggesting a full deception.
if we go to them as if we are here to release Asoya.
I don't think we need to put on a play for them, but I could get information, useful information. We still don't know where Asoya really is. Is it in that hole? I don't know. You don't know.
You're a good liar.
I'm a good liar.
I'm afraid I'm not very good at that.
I literally took a feat last level up called Slippery Secrets, and I can elude and evade attempts to uncover our true nature or intentions.
And
wow. Yeah, holy crap.
She can lie, and I'll tell the truth because I have amazing diplomacy. I'm so good at talking to people.
But wouldn't we say two different things then, if I'm lying and you're telling the truth?
We could open up with diplomacy.
It could also be spoken in clever ways.
I'm a clever liar. I'm really bad at deception, but I'm really good at diplomacy.
Lying by omitting.
Exactly. I'll just be quiet and then you start talking.
Right.
One always lies, one always tells the truth. How do you
cross the bridge?
How do you cross the bridge?
Or we ignore. I don't know.
This sounds good to me. Let's give it a try, and Buckles, you and I must be ready to cast on a moment's notice.
We'd like to try lying as well. I think that could be fun.
Alright.
Alright, that's what we'll try. Ramius will stay back and try to not speak much, and we'll follow their lead. If he feels like anybody's in danger, he's gonna start blowing everything up.
Okay. From where you're standing, they're pretty far away.
We'll just start slowly walking. Start slowly. Yeah.
Okay. So, we'll get you...
I'd like to do one thing, too, before we go up. Just to use my masquerade scarf, I can cast a first-rank illusory disguise spell. Not going to go crazy. I'm not going to make myself look like somebody else. But she is going to sort of add that purpley effect that Riddleson has. Mm. So it's like near the eyes and just sort of like glowy purple, just to give herself a look of more power and more gifts from a Soyo or something. Mm-hmm. We're about to go up against a queen. So that's all she does. She just kind of tucks the scarf in, casts it, and just hopefully looks more correct.
Okay.
Powerful.
A little more powerful and more juiced. You approach this final rift separating you between where you are and the base of the tower, and the chanting, whatever's happening here, it becomes more intense, louder. It kind of starts carrying itself on the wind towards you. This, you notice that now several of the bodies that are just like skeletal remains or husks are just kind of like twitching, and you don't know if they're part of the ritual or if they're being vibrated by whatever's happening here. Go ahead and give me something to
religion
identify magic. Yeah, just to get a sense of what's happening before you attempt to reach out. Occultism, arcana.
Did you not get a 40? Because I got a 40. In religion.
I got a natural 20.
I thought you got a natural one by your reaction.
No, 32. It's nice. Just funny, yours is still so much higher than mine.
I got a natty 19.
All right, you're close enough now that I can also give you a little flavor about the exact area surrounding the base of the tower. It's like a large square plaza. The northern edge has crumbled into this chasm, ribbons of black ash infusing the remaining entrances from the street here. I mentioned when you came in, there were six towers. Three of them were like 2,000 feet in the air, and the other three were sort of crumbled. This one here is one of the ruins. It's probably the tallest of the ruins, but it still looms high above this plaza, high above these chasms. Swirls of wind laced with this black ash just periodically drift through the plaza, to sort of gyre up the sides of this monolith before you. While the stones of the plaza itself are littered with dozens of bodies, that some of which appear frozen to the ground and others are like twitching and chanting, despite being obviously dead. There is a female figure dressed in these royal garbs, sort of clinging to her wispy frame, leading the ceremony, and she's in the back facing the spire, so back to you.
Is this the spire that is like
with the colors shifting?
Yeah, the color shifting. And you realize it's this black ash. Maybe it's black frost. Maybe it's something else. Maybe a little bit of both. And she is leading this chant with her back to these beings. And some of the beings, as you get closer, like start standing up. And there's like, it looks like six altogether, like standing and chanting while all the other bodies are like shaking and chanting on the ground. It's very loud here. Tell me what you want to do. Oh, I'm sorry. You wanted to figure out what is this? Yeah, what could possibly be going on here? Just a moment. The best way to explain this based on your check.
And I rolled a nat 20 on occultism, and he rolled a 40-something on religion.
Occultism. Would you roll nat 20? Oh, yeah. Nat 20. Nice. Okay. All right. So as to what sort of ritual, be it occult, religious, whatever is going on here, it's hard to deduce really what the goal is, but you have the benefit of having done a lot of research into what Riddleson was up to. Your minds have been opened up to memories that were locked away in some deep recess of your mind. Physically, it appears that what she and these other dead are doing is trying to cover this spire in black. Now, it's not just a paint job. It's covering it with this
black frost,
obviously. Now, you start to think, okay, so what is the goal here? And it looks like this black is coming from the temple in a certain way. It looks like the direction is not omnidirectional. It's from temple to here.
So the chanting is pulling it from the temple to and cover this tower,
right?
Ruined tower.
And so you feel like this must be part of a ritual to create the portal for Soyo to return.
Yeah.
It's like maybe she's got to do all the spires. And then the temple will
unlock. And is this the first one?
Yeah, the other spires.
Done, yeah. So if left unmolested, you know, this will be a done job. Soyo comes back, destroys the world.
Yeah.
So but yeah, you feel like, as if you've got to stop this.
Well, she's got to do seven more of them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We whisper to each other. She doesn't see us yet. So what do you want to say?
Shh. Kill her.
Wait, hold on.
Stop the ritual.
Hold on. We could deceive and say, oh, we'll take care of the other towers. Like, we'll do it, you know. We can
stay here.
Lie to her. Or we can fight her right now. I mean, I...
Fight her right now, yes. Excellent idea. Look, you said... Let's get more information. I think I know what's going on here. This is the ritual to break Soyo free.
Right.
We don't know how close they are.
Right.
Sure, they could be early in the process, Zephyr, but maybe any moment they could be finished this part, so, and it could maybe not be undone.
Right.
If we stop the ritual to speak to her, I'm sure she'll just be enraged. Anyway, I don't...
Should we just, like... Sucker spell punch her from here, or should we sucker spell punch the thrall?
I think we should still try to deceive. I mean, Buggles, you said you wanted to lie. Maybe we could still get close enough and then turn and surprise her entirely.
But I don't want to get in the middle of all of the potential thrall.
I like using this gap to our advantage.
All right.
Yeah, we can Zephyr, funnel it.
Did you snap your bow over your...
Oh, it's gone. I can't use it anymore. The only ranged thing I have now is a wild wind stance.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we should get closer.
I changed my feats.
So that Zephyr is used.
I do
useful.
Have these.
Hey, look, I understand that you changed your feats. I understand that you're not like proficient in it, in whatever. But this is the thing. It's just like, you can't shoot a bow now.
It's.
Well, I don't have my bow, but I do. Yeah. She rummages in her pocket. She's got these darts. She can throw, and I also have. And she pulls out these two vials. She's like,
"Oh, are we playing a game?
I've got arsenic, and
I've got this slingshot,
and
really just belladonna,
poison.
Yeah,
I don't think poison will work on skeletons.
Well, on her though,
not with that attitude.
Right. Well, what do you think?
I believe in you.
Zephyr, do you think we get it going from over here and use the gap to our advantage?
I also have my dirge. My dirge is an emanation from me, so I can't really do much, you know.
I believe they're going to come to us.
I can do wild wind stance and shoot you know, air at them.
All right.
Pressed air. Or I can stay.
Let's do it.
Or in case any jump over to us, I can be in stumbling stance in case some jump over and I can hit them.
Yes, any that jump over, yes.
They, back up.
You can just knock them right back into the crevasse.
So stumbling stance.
Stand back here.
Takes me a second to get into stances, so I should choose one.
Yes.
Okay, stumbling stance.
We will protect you.
I say all this, but let me just make sure. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, so yeah. She rolls her shoulders, rolls her neck, and she just gets loose and gets in the stumbling stance.
You're close enough that I should be able to reveal these bodies to you. You can see, and they all have their back to you.
Uh-oh.
But there are six of these creatures.
Oh!
No.
Like frost zombie.
Standing and...
That's dope artwork.
Let's say a prayer. Wow. Really quick.
And the woman bodies, still has her back to you.
Let the bodies hit the bottom floor. Of the crevasse.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the crevasse.
Wow, if she's not undead and she did this to all of her own people, she's undead.
She looks. Can you show us her?
No, you can, she has her back to you.
Oh, you can't see her?
She's undead as all hell.
She looks crazy. Her token looks crazy.
I want to be her.
I think I want to be her.
Zephyr falls in love.
So what do you do?
Brother Ramius is going to start it off by centering a blast of divine wrath between five of them, including her.
That's the goal here.
That's the goal, is to open combat with a blast of divine wrath.
Okay. Since you are effectively sneaking up on them, they are so enthralled in their ritual, they will take a -4 to their initiative.
Nice.
And we'll find out the results of that initiative right after this break.
How does love work exactly? What makes something funny? How does noise affect your health? These are just a sample of the fascinating topics we discuss on my podcast, Something You Should Know. We bring you leading experts on topics important to you, things you can use in your life and that will fascinate you. We deliver 3 episodes a week and have over 1,000 episodes available to listen. So get listening to Something You Should Know wherever you get your podcasts.
From the creators of the Leviathan Chronicles comes a new audio adventure. Join treasure hunters Captain Jeffrey Tully and Oberlin St. Clair as they build their dream research ship, the Invenios, and assemble a daring crew. But soon, their adventures plunge them into a globe-spanning conspiracy with hidden ties to Leviathan and visitors from beyond this world. The Invenios Expeditions, the newest series from Leviathan Audio Productions. Available now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Discover the horrors that lurk in the steel and shadows of a futuristic utopia in the anthology horror podcast, Liberty, Tales from the Tower.
These are parts of statements from multiple witnesses across multiple missing persons cases.
White ooze poured down from their eyes, only to find that it was their eyes.
I used to want to fall asleep, Soto. Not anymore.
Liberty, Tales from the Tower. Available wherever you find podcasts.
We're back! You've got the jump on them a little bit, but you are outnumbered. What did you get, Brother Ramius?
Oh, Brother Ramius got a 32.
Ooh. 32, okay. I didn't know where that was going to go.
Yeah, it could have been a lot higher.
Yep. It was. It was
could
like,
have been a
it
lot.
Was, it was
lower.
Low 30s.
Yeah, the low. Been... One of the lowest 30s you can get. Dick Muck.
You have such a negative view on 30s.
I got.
It doesn't get much lower than that in the 30s.
Like one or two numbers lower. That's about it.
I got a 20.
Ooh, man.
And I have incredible initiative, too. I just rolled so bad.
Yeah, I should rename that feat to. Initiative.
Zephyr Initiative.
Well. I got a natural one, but surely I still go before all the things we're sneaking up on. Kate, no?
I have to say, you know, in first edition, they had this thing called a surprise round.
Right?
And they have it in almost every other game. They actually don't have it in second edition.
Because people wanted harder rules. It's people who played Dark Souls.
But it's true that all of but it's true that all the enemies should roll with disadvantage, right? Because they're all
like
unaware.
A negative 20.
Well,
disadvantage.
Roll with a negative perception.
Yeah, so they all took a negative. The way it's sort of playing out here is they're all taking a minus 4 to their initiative.
But that doesn't matter when every initiative you roll is 17 or higher.
Correct.
On the
correct.
And they've got like a plus like 30.
Yeah.
So it's a 15 total.
Put it in your mindscape any way you want, but it's like your approach has sort of stopped them in their tracks. They're starting to turn. It's pretty clear a battle is happening, and maybe some of you will get the jump on some of them. But what does that natural one turn out to be?
15 total.
Oh!
Since I said I was getting into stumbling stance, does that mean I'm already in it when it's my turn?
Yes,
okay,
sure.
Good.
Let's do that.
I'll take that.
Let's give you anything I can
that.
Give you here. And you did something too, right?
What?
No, I don't know. Buggles, what'd you roll?
I rolled.
He rolled, yeah. I thought you were like, I'm going to activate my Jiminy.
No, I would cast
it. They would need to be close.
Oh, you're a little masquerade nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have that.
It's not nonsense.
Good thing you got that scarf.
Well, good thing we did.
It's the kind of thing that heroes do.
Good thing we did diplomacy.
Yeah.
So pre-initiative, you went like this. With your scarf.
And my eyes glowed
they
purple.
Heard it.
What was that?
What was that noise?
Was that scarf? Is that scarf on the wind?
Shouldn't have put on my scarf.
That's...
Buggles, what'd you get?
That's 22.
22.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I can justify, you know, sort of within the confines of the game, them taking a penalty to perception, but you really wanted to come up and just cast something, and like, I can say they're slowly turning towards you, let's roll for initiative and take these penalties, but it still doesn't...
There's no way to really ambush someone or something.
Yeah, it's...
Really surprise them, it's like...
Yeah, like if you sneak around a corner and see guys who don't see you,
and
you're like, fireball, now it starts, you know. Right. Now... I think I've probably done that in 96 episodes to you once, where I like cast something where I gave myself a surprise, basically a surprise round.
But I have an idea.
It is a little weird. I have a pitch. Yeah.
You roll initiative. The initial action that was called for by the PC, in this case, a Divine Wrath, goes off as my action for the round, regardless of my initiative position.
Mm-hmm. And then
you go back to the top, and when it's my turn, I don't go.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you
so it's only
up.
You who gets to do it, because you took an action.
In this case, just because I think that action would start the fight, but I don't know, that's one way.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's how that works, you know, if that's mechanical.
Yeah, I mean, we're homebrewing here at this point, or homeruling, should say. But I kind of want to give you that... without necessarily penalizing you. I guess the penalty is, especially if I take away your action in the first round proper, is that you no longer have the opportunity to react to what's going on.
And they would go twice before I react.
Essentially, yeah, depending on how
but
the
I mean,
results.
It's also a huge advantage to get off
yeah.
the spell, right?
I'm going to let you get it off, because I think it's more... It fits the scene very well.
Okay.
I'm still going to give them the penalty of the initiative. They were very much wrapped up in their thing, and you caught them unawares. Penalty to initiative, and let's get one spell off here.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Spells.
Woohoo! So, where did you center it based on your distance and how far you can actually cast
it? So, I can cast it 120 feet, and then it's a 20-foot burst, just like a fireball, which would be on an intersection.
Okay.
So if you can see my ping right there, that puts five of them within 20 feet.
Including her.
Including her. Okay, so four of them and one of her.
All right, so I'm going to roll their... this is fortitude save?
This is a fortitude save, correct.
Okay, I'm going to roll their fortitude saves, and then I'll roll hers.
Okay.
I'm keeping track of which way I'm going around the clock here. But first guy rolled a 20. Terrible roll.
Yeah.
Next guy rolled a 31.
Okay.
Following
that's a success.
Gentleman rolled a 31 as well.
Success.
And then a 27. So 20, 31, 31, 27. Let's deal with them before I do her.
So fail, success, success, fail.
Okay.
So deal with them first?
Yeah, let's deal with them first. Before I...
Well, the damage is going to be the same.
Okay. I'll just write it down.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Wrote it down.
Okay. What was the fail?
The fail is 23
points
total of spirit damage.
Spirit.
Okay.
Nice.
23 points of spirit
and
damage.
Sickened one.
Oh, okay. Nice. Sickened. Okay. They don't appear to be immune to sickened. All right. So that'll be 11 for the successes, and I'm assuming not
that's
sickened.
That's right. That is correct.
All right, not so sickened. The two on the left took more damage and are both sickened. The two on the right took less damage and are not sickened. And then her, straight up fortitude save?
Straight up fortitude save.
Okay. 30.
Ah, success. 11.
All right, so 11 points of damage. To the Lady of the Night.
But we open it up, yes. He called, yes. This ritual must be smited by the Keeper.
All right, so she turns around. Free action.
All right, now you're just playing fast and loose.
And now you see she looks like this.
Whoa. Ooh.
And in fact, her first action.
Oh, no. This was not a good idea.
Oh, no.
I didn't see she had a long bow.
Her first two actions
are... She looks like a knight on Bald Mountain with that fucking cape.
Yeah, well, she activates said cape, and it spreads out to look like the wings of a bat.
Oh, boy.
I was going to say they look like wings.
It's in love.
She looks like my long-lost lover.
Where are you? Equendia. That's a cool name.
And
now that I see how it's spelled.
She will then take off into the air, and she sort of flies... diagonally toward you and up.
So the gap didn't matter.
The gap didn't matter? What do you mean?
Like us using the gap for defense.
Well, for the thrall it does. They can't
sure,
fly.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I
but
mean,
she's so perfectly suited. She's flying and ranged.
Yeah, awesome. I'm sure it was good adventure writing.
Yes.
All right, so she flies up. You see, I've added her elevation there. She's 30 feet above the ground has flown towards you, if you don't like the Pythagorean math. Colin. Brother Ramius said
Matthew's not on this show. He's a big fan of adding Pythagoras into role-playing
games. He loves the Greeks.
Yes.
Loves the Greek philosophers.
Ramius, it would be your turn here. You would have gone second, but instead we're going to eat your turn. And now it is one of these Black Frost zombies. It's actually the one closest to you. Now, you do have that space between you and the chasm that may prove to be good or maybe not. Let's see what kind of speed they're working
maybe
with here.
Maybe not.
What?
What?
First of all, I'm assuming it's... Oh, you son of a bitch.
What?
Are you going to say they're all standing?
Yeah, remember I said that...
You said one of them, like, stood up. Did you say all of them? Six
all of them stood up. The other ones just have stopped twitching on the ground and fallen.
Gotcha.
All right, so this one is going to move 40 feet right up to the edge of the chasm, and then it is going to leap across next to Buggles. And that's its turn. And now, oddly enough, it's Buggles' turn.
Oh, okay.
Ooh!
Shove.
Zephyr!
Shove.
Zephyr, defend us!
So Buggles is, he's going to kind of reel back a little bit, like stumble back with his foot like on the edge of this chasm and boom, do a an ignition.
Ignition on this fella.
On the creature. And this is, I'm going to use my bottle cap here.
Okay.
Because I rolled a 3. I don't want that 3.
Okay.
I want a higher number.
Okay.
Comes the 4.
Weird fetish here about higher numbers in combat.
Your wish is granted.
Yes, 5.
Oh,
I'm curious what the total is.
22?
22 is a miss.
No, wait, sorry, 24.
Oh, 24?
Yes.
Well, that's a hit.
Oh, wow. Oh, amazing.
All right, so not bad.
Okay, 40 points of damage.
Whoa!
And then some.
You didn't say you crit.
To be weak to fire.
Oh, amazing.
The fucking ice zombie.
And with my reaction, I am going to cast, like, quick cast Entropic Wheel. And so this moat, this, like, little blue light starts, like, swirling around my body.
Ooh. What is that all about?
That is... I'll explain my next attack.
Okay.
It's a whole thing. And with my third action, I'm going to zoom, raise shield.
Third action, raise shield. Okay. I want to get some blue light around you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's good.
All right, so that's Buggles' turn. He's got some cool blue light around him that he doesn't want to talk about. It is the next Bifrost zombie's turn. This one is a little bit further away. This one took a lot of damage, and it is sickened. It's going to move up to the rift as far as it can, and that's going to be its turn. The other one in the far back, I don't even know if three actions will be enough. Nope. It will... actually, what's run? I haven't used run in 2E in a while. Oh, it's a feat.
Yeah, I don't think you just run in 2E because you have the three action thing. And
I run with my feet.
That's...
I run with my feet.
That's so silly.
It is a... You have to take
it must,
a...
It must
have
to mean, learn. Like, other stuff. But just the fact that it's, like, run.
You have to
run
learn feet. How to run.
You have 2E run.
All right, so it's just going to just kind of start ambling its way. It's still about 30 feet away from the edge of that pit. And now it's Gick's turn.
Okay. Gick is going to focusing on Queen Aquendia. She is going to cast Synesthesia, which I haven't cast before.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay.
Never mind. No, I'm not. Sorry.
We had a great run. Synesthesia had a great run there.
Damn. Yeah, for synesthesia.
Why is its range so fucking short? Stupid. All right. I am first going to do my Courageous Anthem with a Lingering Composition.
Okay.
So first action. Let's see. That's going to be 33. So that'll be...
So it lingers.
Regular success for three rounds.
Okay, we'll linger.
Everybody gets plus one to your attack and damage and
Sweet.
Saves against fear effects.
What do you awesome. Say? What do you do?
She starts to hum, and it's this hum that we've heard a few times, and it's just like it's not like full Wolf of Wall Street, like
the, those.
Mm-hmm, but it's a little bit like this thrumming hum. Mm-hmm, and it's like you just feel it in your bones, and you feel stronger.
Thrumming hum, that's a good name for a spell.
Thrumming hum.
I cast Thrumming Hum.
Thrumming Hum.
I cast Thrumming Hum. All right, and then I'm going to do not synesthesia.
Okay.
I'm going to do thrumming a little... Hummer. A little...
That's exactly where I was.
Nice.
Good.
Blowjob. Give him a Thrumming Hum.
Don't take my cool spell.
Blow it, my will save. Do anything you want.
Don't ruin my cool spell that I just made up.
Okay, do you?
Instead of synesthesia, she's looking at this undead ? Queen. I'm going to cast...
Judgy.
Phantasmal Killer.
Oh.
So I need you to make a will save.
All right, now keep in mind, Phantasmal Killer, without even looking, I'm sure it has the incapacitation trait. Doesn't.
No,
yeah,
it doesn't.
No, that one doesn't. There's another one.
Oh, because it's multiple saves.
The Aeris.
Right, okay, I misspoke. All right, so you want to do Vision of Death, as it's known now.
Oh, yes.
And it may be a slightly different.
Casting this thinking she's alive?
Because the target is one living creature.
Like, if you were assuming she was alive, that you would cast that. If you're assuming she's dead, you wouldn't cast that.
Because it's mental damage, so it would...
No, it has to die. If it's undead, it's already dead.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and it targets one living creature, so...
I would probably assume she's
Yeah, you
not.
Would assume, okay. like, look, just looking at her.
Just I mean, looking at her. She's so gross.
Okay, hold on. Let me just go through my spells, because a lot of them say living creature. That's stupid. My painful vibrations, living creature, even though that's sonic. Let me see.
Wow.
You're about to get nerfed. What about your Dirge of Jaunt? I know you can't do it this round, but like that doesn't have to be living.
I can harmonize and do it.
I'm not suggesting you do it right now, but I'm saying that doesn't target living creatures.
Just enemies.
Right? Yeah.
It makes them frightened.
That'll be there great might once be they're some, all over here.
Might be some people that say, oh, well, living means they're up and they're doing stuff. I am not one of those people.
This is annoying. Okay, you know what? I'm going to do something else. I'm just going to reach out to Zephyr, and I'm going to cast Blur on Zephyr, just thinking that these other guys are all going to jump over and might go after her.
Nice little Blur buff.
Blur.
Talk to me about Blur. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
That's because it's not in the remaster, I would assume.
It is.
It's remastered. Yeah. They didn't change the name.
Fuzzy Stuff.
Fuzzy Stuff.
I cast Fuzzy Stuff on Zephyr.
Fuzzy looks.
Blur, they become concealed.
Yeah. So you're concealed.
Oh, it's still blur. Look at that.
One minute. So you'll be concealed for a while.
So DC 5 flat check.
Nice.
Or DC 6, I guess.
5.
DC 5.
DC 5 is flatty.
That's my turn, and I'm just going to look at my spells while we talk to make sure I can cast something on the next round.
Literally anything. Okay, cool. Well, it's another one of these guys' turn, and she has commanded them to get over there. And so this guy is going to, he's going to move 55 feet up and also just take three actions to get right to the lip.
See, this gap is beneficial.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is taking, a good gap.
You're taking a round away from them, forcing them to come towards you, but let's see some damage. That's what I'm going to say. Zephyr, you're up.
Yeah, we need to do damage.
All right. So...
You hurt the one that jumped across, right, Buggles?
I heard it bad.
Oh, yeah. Hurt it real bad.
Yeah.
Hurt so bad.
So I'm in stumbling stance. I can just knock out this creature. What would be cool is if I got out of stumbling stance and, like, use my athletics to reposition and just, like, throw them off.
Threw
the
it
edge.
Out, yeah.
That would be fun. And then also, because Lady is flying... I'm going to need to be in wild wind stance to hit her.
Let's just focus on the one that's right here.
Okay.
I think it's going to suck dealing with her, but for right now, I think we have to focus
on... And I do have to spend an action to dismiss, so I'll stay in stumbling stance, go right up to the one that's here, and do a deception check to see if I can flat foot you.
All right, free feint here.
Free feint. So that's going to be a 23...
23 against its perception DC. It's a fail, but I'll also tell you that they fate has the mental trait, and so you probably don't want to try it again against undead. Most undead are immune to mental.
Okay, so I can't lie to them with my body.
Yeah, they're too stupid to know how good
they're
you are.
Too dumb. All right, here we go. Stunning.
You're beyond the wall here. This is you're fighting. Well, fighting the walkers.
Flurry of blows. So that's 30 for the first one.
Rocks hit.
Yeah.
And then the second one.
You got fiery fists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got my flaming hand wraps on. I forgot about that.
Extra damage.
So it's 30 for the first one, and then 21 for the second one.
Hit miss.
So please give me a fortitude save.
A fortitude save. All right. Well, that's going to be a 28.
That's a fail. So you're stunned one.
Nice.
And then, not a d20. It's 2d6.
Stunned one. Man, that stunned has been very fruitful
been
for you lately.
Rocking a lot lately.
Yeah.
7, 8, 9, 12 points of regular damage, 3 points of fire damage.
All right, so that'll be even more. 12 points of regular and more fire than 3.
Step, flurry of blows. And I guess just one more regular hit to see. That's 21 again, so that's a miss.
21's a miss. Okay, great. Nice. He came up there, did some damage, and stunned it. There are two more of these Black Frost Zombinos, and one of them will also triple move up to the edge. That's its turn. And then the last one... I don't even think it's going to get there. It's going to get just... It's forcing it to do two actions next turn if it wants to come across. So imagine, they're just like these mindless things coming up to the edge. One of them has made it across because it was close enough to the front, but the rest of them are a round away. It is the top of round two, and it's the queen's turn.
No!
Queen of Mean. Man, this is going to be fun. I will give you the benefit of the doubt and say her bow was not drawn. She was in the middle of conducting a ritual. So first action, she will draw her bow. And let me just check the old distance here. Oh, yeah. Distance for days. She's going to take a shot at Buggles.
No.
You're the foremost one there.
I'm my favorite one.
I'm my favorite one. She sees your bluing beacon coming off of your body. It makes a nice target over there. So that is going to be a terrible 25.
That's a miss.
Nice, Buggles!
Goodness gracious.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely brutal. And then she is going to sort of close the distance a bit and... with her final action, fly closer to all of you. And that is her turn. It is now Brother Ramius's turn.
Brother Ramius!
Okay. Ramius is going to do his second, his second and final Divine Wrath of the day. And he can now get all six of them now that they've all run up.
Okay, including her, she's up, right?
She's still too far.
All the zombies.
But all of the zombies on the ground.
Oh, huge.
Fortitude saves
across
every single one of them.
Board. Okay.
I hope you have
a juicy roll here, too. Like, come on. All right. Which one's which?
I'm doing the one next to Buggles first.
Come on. Fail this one.
Fail it.
That is a 25.
That's a fail.
Okay.
All right. And then I'll just go across the rift and then the one in the back.
In what direction?
From left to right.
Left to right. All right. So the one across from
21.
Fail.
Oh, geez. 19.
Critical fail. So that second one in crit fail.
27.
Fail.
Oh, 22.
Fail.
Okay, and then the one in the back, 21.
Fail. They all fail, and the second one in,
five fails, and then one crit fail.
I didn't even roll the damage. I was so excited watching you fail over and over and over again.
So fun watching you fail.
So fun watching
you fail. Six times.
So they're all going to be sickened. The ones that were sickened, they don't stack, right? So now they're all sick.
I don't see why it would, but... All right. Oh, unfortunately, bad damage. Only 18. 18 points of damage.
And then 36 to the crit
36
fail.
36 to the crit fail. And, all sickened. Oh, man. Wish I rolled a little higher. One and a two on 2d10.
That's pretty good, though, against all six of them.
Yeah. To spread it out against all of them. And the one next to Buggles. That doesn't put it down, the 18. They have a lot of hit points.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not yet. Making sure I don't.
That's concerning.
That is concerning.
Some of them twice. All right, so they're all sickened. I didn't make anybody sickened too. They're all sickened. I don't think that they have the mental power to know to retch. So you've just like permanently debilitated all of them. The one next to Buggles is in rough shape, but he was dead. So
damn
how
it.
Much rougher can it be?
I still have an action.
Okay,
and I will cast. I'm going to cast Guidance on Zephyr.
Guidance on Zephyr. Okay. Very good. Well, let's go to the stunned and sickened Black Frost zombie that is next to Buggles. It now only has two actions, which is just enough actions.
It just sucks. Like, we had to get this guy out. It's crazy. We couldn't get one of these mobs out.
Let's just do something annoying. It is going to, gasp sort of sharply and then exhale this mist of dark blue-black that surrounds it, concealing it and those of you around it in a 5-foot emanation.
So it's only 5 feet?
Only 5 feet. So it really would just affect Buggles,
Zephyr, Buggles.
And it because, unless it's immune to it. All right, so that's its turn, because it only had two. It's no longer stunned now, but it still remains sickened, and that's what it's going to do, just making it a little bit more annoying here for Buggles to finish it off. You will need a concealment check should you choose to attack it.
Okay, ordinarily I would, but he is instead going to cast Redistribute Potential.
Redistribute.
Okay. So this is a consecutive 5-foot squares. He is in one of the squares. I'm going to cast fire damage in his square. And please give me a reflex fortitude save.
Fortitude save. Okay. And because this is an area effect, yes?
Yes.
Okay. This is not
targeted.
Not targeted. So you don't have to roll concealment. All right. Good save. But he is second. It's going to be a 28.
That's a fail.
Woo!
Nice.
God, your DCs are high now.
That would have been a save with if he wasn't sickened.
You're right. It would have.
Yeah.
So that is 14 points of fire damage and 1 point of cold damage.
All right, so 14 fire, 1 point of cold.
And another little orange mote now appears circling around.
Okay. I will say it looks like the cold didn't affect him, but he took extra damage from the fire, and he's still...
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I mean, the amount of hit points is very concerning.
Yeah, this is a lot. And with my third action, I'm going to raise shield again.
All right, and you still have that blue beacon around you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And an orange one.
And an orange.
Little blue moat and a little orange moat orbiting my little football.
I don't want to continue until you have both a blue and an orange moat.
We can imagine them.
I can't put two colors on.
That's fine.
Sorry. I don't know how. Actually, I could, but I don't want to. All right. So moving on, there is a Zombino right near Gek. It leaps over and then the game is about to change here. It is going to try to bite you. And that is going to be big ol' miss with a 16.
Wow. Okay.
Second and final attack with the jaws cracked die. I don't know why I roll into the corners here. And then misses with a 19. Ooh. On the second attack.
The keeper is watching.
Yes.
Somebody's watching.
Keeper preserve kick.
All right, the one in the back here, old back Johnson, is going to first move action up to the edge, second leap across, boop, and then this one is going to attack Buggles, who is flanked, but Buggles is concealed.
I'm in the
thing, so it's going to first the flat check. Made it with a 13, which probably would have been a hit. And then, so its final, no, it moved, jumped. Yeah. So it's going to get one attack. It's going to try and punch you.
Okay.
This one rolled a 25.
That is a hit. Exactly. Oh. The off guard. That's a hit.
A sickened. It's counted into that.
Yeah, it's all hit. Thanks to
Damn You Foundry.
Foundry Virtual Tabletop.
Damn You Sickened Foundry. I used to be able to get Troy's mistakes left and right.
All right. So it punches you for 13 points of bludgeoning damage and 4 points of cold if you take it.
I do.
If you take it.
I don't know if he's got it.
Oh, if he raised shield.
Yeah. I'll decline the cold.
I don't know if you're who's immune to cold at this point.
Gotcha, gotcha. I'm not feeling cold, so I'm...
No, yeah. You know, I am immune to it. all right, so that'd be 18 total. And you do have your shield raised, so it absorbs some of that. And now it is Gick's turn.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to use my shield to absorb the damage.
All of it.
I'm going to use my reaction.
Okay.
To have it absorb.
Wait, what shield did you do? Just your regular ray shield?
Yeah. But I'm gonna use the shield block.
That'll just reduce. It reduces it by five or ten.
Five, and then whatever the hit points of the shield is.
Yeah, it's no. Both you and the shield take the hit points after the initial hardness.
So it probably has hardness five, right?
It might be leveled up, though, to where it has the higher hardness.
It is. I think it's 10.
Yeah, I think it might be 10 now.
Okay.
So you would still 3 would still go through, and that 3 goes to your shield.
Okay.
All right, so the shield has a certain amount of hit points. Once it gets below half of its hit points, the shield will be broken, right. Which means you'll no longer be able to allow it to absorb half. But so you only take 3 of that, and your shield gets a little dented as well. Okay, and that's its turn. Now it's Gek.
Okay.
It's getting a little crowded over here, Gikmuk.
I am going to do something.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
Prestidigitation?
Don't even.
Are you getting clever?
Yes.
Oh, no.
First.
Here we go.
Head for the hills.
First action. I jump into the crevasse. Second action. I fall. First action. I'm going to... Gik yells up towards Queen Aquendia, and she says, "Why flying? Afraid your fragile bones might break on the ice?" And I'm doing a bon mot.
Ooh.
So I would like to roll my diplomacy against her will.
Okay.
And try to reduce her perception and will saves.
Okay.
See if I can get a little something going.
Okay. The old bone mode.
Meantime, I'll look at the traits for bon mot.
Bone mode, dude.
Bone mode.
So that's going to be 35 diplomacy against her will.
Okay.
Will DC.
Just going to very quickly look at the traits for Bon Mo. Motion general.
Auditory, concentrated motion, general.
Mental. Skill. Now, her immunities are a little bit different.
Oh, she's
theirs.
Intelligent undead.
Yes, whereas they are immune to mental, she is not. I don't see any way that I can beef out of this, so that is success.
Awesome. Nice.
Just a success. All right.
That was a bone mo.
It's a good line, too.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Success as critical success, but the penalty is minus two. Okay, so the target is distracted. They take a minus two status penalty to perception and will saves for 1 minute.
Okay.
The target can end the effect early with a retort to my bon mot. This can either be a single action, blah, blah, blah. All right, so you can decide if you want to do that, I guess, on your turn.
All right.
But that doesn't even matter because all I needed was it for this. So now I'm going to do a level four spell, Luring Wail. And I am going to call out...
No, it's
going
to bring the Black Frost Whale right to us!
In a 60-foot emanation...
Don't lure the whale!
You know what you're doing!
To lure my enemies closer. Each creature in the emanation that can hear me must attempt a will save. If you speak a creature's name as part of the casting of the spell, they take a minus two circumstance bonus. So I call out, Queen Aquendia, come to me. And I would like her to now roll with negative four against
this. Do they stack?
I don't see why not.
What's the penalty for the bon mot?
Minus two. Or what type of penalty?
Is it circumstance?
This is a circumstance. Well, that would be stupid if it doesn't stack. And what's then the other one?
Keep in mind, Luring Whale has incapacitation.
Status. They do stack. Okay. Status so and circumstance.
Stack. So they stack. Luring Whale has incapacitation, so it will affect the Black Forest
so
zombies.
Has to critically fail.
But yeah, she would have to critically fail for
But if she succeeds, she's slowed.
Yeah. And it's a minus four now with the.
Yeah. So she gets that minus four no matter what to her will save.
Will save.
For this roll.
Yep.
And you want me to roll for them as well?
Everybody.
Everybody, okay. Let's roll for the zombies first. Let's get those out of the way.
Let's see.
Will. And all their will is lowered by sickened. Okay.
This will teach you to attack us with six and NPCs ever again. Roll will saves for all of them.
No, I hate it. I hate it so much. All right, so we're going to go 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Starting with the one next to you.
Okay.
So first will is
Aren't these immune to mental, though?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Immune to mental.
That's right, so I don't have to do anything.
Wait.
So I just roll her at a minus four.
Okay.
And it's incapacitation. So very low chance of it doing anything, but you might get
slowed.
She might
fail.
You might get slowed.
You fail.
Will minus four. Here we go. All right, so that's going to be 32.
What an a-hole.
Why would I even use my stuff? Like, why even use it or try to do anything?
You would
want
to use really good
stuff.
You'd
want to try to damage. Do you have anything to do damage?
Yeah.
Is she a living creature? So anyway,
you have a gun or something?
Slowed
one.
Gun
did you really bring a gun?
We found that a gun really helped in the sixth book of our Pat Lasseter.
Yeah,
and the fifth, fourth, third, second, and first book.
Yeah.
She is
especially like slowed. Four, five times around. Shoot it.
Bang, 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 bang.
In the head, like pretty much everything dies after five bullets to the face.
It was incredible that a flintlock pistol could shoot six times in 6 seconds.
And those 326 episodes just flew by.
You know what would be helpful? You know, it would be so helpful if that stupid bird told us there was undead in here and I could have made my spells maybe more effective.
He's distraught.
He's distraught.
Caught up in his love life.
She slowed one for one round.
She slowed?
What? No, she
no.
Yes.
She succeeded. That becomes a critical success because
she's incapacitation.
It's incapacitation.
Oh,
yeah.
It becomes a critical. Forgot.
So you thought this was going to affect everybody, right?
Yeah.
And instead it affected.
Nobody. I thought at least it would affect her because of the negative four.
Right.
But
your heart was in the right place.
That retort off.
I did. I told her to come down. Maybe she's like feeling a little insulted, like she should come down to the
sounds
ice.
Like
I mean, I'm looking through to see what will saves I have. What saves I can do against Will, but I have many.
All right, that's my turn.
Okay.
Everybody still has their plus ones, don't forget.
Still
going.
This one to the far right here, still on the other side of the rift. First action jumps across. Second action, it closes on Zephyr. Third action, it goes to bite Zephyr.
Flat check.
Made it with a seven. Thank you.
Oh, man. Ah. Major bummer.
And would have been then the there's the 17 for a 31.
Hit.
That hits Zephyr with its jaws of life. 9 points of piercing and 6 points of cold.
0 points of cold. because of my Yeti hand thing. It gives me greater cold resistance.
Nice.
Yep.
That's awesome. So you take, you don't take 10 points
it's
of 10 cold.
10 resistance.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. So you just take 6 points of piercing.
Oh, yeah. Was that was cold damage I took before?
Well, I have the hand.
But I have my cloak. What kind of damage
you took
that?
4 points of cold damage.
Yeah. No, then I, yeah.
All right, so give
what's your cloak?
Four.
Oh,
I took the
rune.
Boon.
The rune, yeah.
Oh, that's right. So give yourself 4 hit points back. Yeah, yeah. Keep that in mind as they continue to do cold damage on you. Zephyr, it's your turn.
Come on, kill him! So I was thinking...
It's your turn!
I was thinking about, again, should I get into Wild Wind Stance because of the concealment? Wild Wind Strikes ignore concealment. But I don't think I'll get fire damage with my hand wraps because I'm hitting from range. So to me, that's still the biggest benefit. I'm still going to stay in Stumbling Stance.
Okay.
And I can't do deception on that.
Glad to hear the thought process.
It might be an assumption.
What?
That you're leaping to.
Hold on.
What is the wind? What's it called?
Wait, everybody stop for a second. Did you roll concealment on Zephyr?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just making sure that he did.
What is it?
Both times.
Wild Wind Stance, because it's ranged, it's still...
But they're ranged punches, right?
It's a ranged strike. Unarmed strike does ranged strikes. So that means I attack with a weapon I'm wielding with an unarmed attack, targeting one creature within your reach or within range.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense. It says you take on the stance of flowing wind, sending out waves of energy at a distance.
Yeah.
It doesn't say make your melee strike as ranged. Yeah. It doesn't say that.
It's like a ranged strike, and that's a thing.
You're manipulating the wind out there.
So yeah. I'm assuming not. Let me know in the comments if I'm wrong.
Who would dare? Who would dare?
But I mean,
joke's on you. I can't read.
Well, I mean,
regardless, you want to take this guy out anyway.
Yeah,
he's in melee. But
the spirit of what we're doing, we seem to be in agreement that you shouldn't be able to do it. It's our table. This makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm going to do Stumbling Stance. Can't do the fainting thing. So Flurry of Blows.
Okay.
Well, concealment.
Fail.
Okay.
Fail then. For the first one. Second one.
That blows.
That passes for concealment, and that's 27 to hit.
Nice.
Which one are you attacking? The one next to Buggles that's near death, or the one that just came up to you?
The one that has been hit.
Okay.
And then, fortitude save, please.
Fortitude
for that
save?
One hit.
You got it. That is going to be a 28.
Fail still, so
fail!
Still stunned.
All right, maybe it won't matter if you can do some damage. He's sick.
So that's 10 points of... regular damage.
Okay.
6 points of fire damage.
And he's gone.
Oh, yes.
Rumbles to the ground.
Boom. So misses with one and hits with the other. So that was just one action.
Yep.
So I'm going to turn my attention to the one. Has the one to the left of you, Buggles, been hit?
I don't think anybody
can.
Yes.
Oh, no, they've all been hit by Divine Wrath.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
They've all been hit by Divine Wrath. You would know that one has taken more damage than the one that just came up to you because that one recently jumped over the pit.
All right, I'm going to hit the one that's next to Buggles next with a regular hit.
They're both next to Buggles.
Or the...
The one near the gap?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one that's less hit?
No, that's the one that's more hit.
More
that's
hit.
The one that's been hit by your Divine Wrath twice.
Got it.
Regular hit. That's going to be a 21, which I know is a miss.
21, even with sickened.
Oh, no, wait. Concealment?
Concealment, yeah.
Oh, so that was my flat check.
Fair.
Same roll.
even with the plus.
Well, you know what? That one is not in concealment.
Oh, no, that's
it's 5 feet around Buggles.
Yeah.
The creature that was provided the concealment is dead, isn't it?
Yeah, but it lingers for a minute.
Oh.
1 minute?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that little spot there, I should throw a thing on there just so you know what.
Gotcha.
What is concealment? But that guy isn't, so it's a miss, anyways. Okay.
And I don't want to take a action to move just because I have concealment as well. So I'd rather they try to hit me. But I don't want to take another hit just in case I don't hit. So I guess guidance would be best on someone. How about Brother Ramius? You're going next.
Sure.
Guidance on
aid?
You.
Are you cast guidance?
I have guidance because of that whole Sky Sage thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
So guidance on you.
Guidance on Ramu.
Okay, little guidance on Brother Ramius. Moving right along, moving right along. There are some more zombinos. This guy jumps over and goes to bite Gick and misses, tries again, and misses. Miss on the Gick bite.
Failed on the old gnome Chomsky.
That's fun. That's real fun.
That's fun.
All right, now this one in the back here, the last one that has made the leap across, it was interesting. I was going back and forth when you were deciding whether or not you wanted to come across or not, and I initially wanted you to come across. It certainly made the fight a lot more interesting keeping you back there, because they've now had to spend multiple rounds closing, even though Aquendia is just slowly making her way. So this guy's going to come up to the rifts, first action. Second action, jump over, and then it is going to kind of make its way around, and that's it. So you've got one dead zombie, five alive zombies, and Queen Aquendia, who happens to be ready to take a turn here at the top of round three. Let's get nasty. Her first action, she will... she speaks in Necrol. I don't know if any of you speak Necrol, but she like starts hissing a command in Necrol, and all of the zombies get a free reaction to take a melee strike.
Oh my god!
So in succession, two will attack Gick, one will attack Buggles, two will attack Zephyr. So I'm going from left to right. Let's resolve of these attacks.
Ugh, at least I'm not off guard anymore.
Six attacks as one action.
Now, let me read stunned. I think you can't take reactions when you're stunned.
I think that is correct. Let me
just make sure.
Yeah, you can't act.
It can't act.
And then at the start of your turn, you lose an action, then the stun
goes away.
All right,
so the one that was... the one that's stunned is dead, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, right.
Here we go. Oop. So... let's use the more powerful fist on everybody. So it's going to try and fist all of you. Punch. All right. First attack on Gick is going to be a natural 20. Starting out strong with these free attacks.
Reaction.
First natural 20 I've rolled in months.
Unless I squeeze my eyes shut really tight and do my eerie flicker. So I'm going to use my deviant ability.
Okay.
You deviant son of a bitch.
And an enemy strike would hit you. I become concealed.
Oh.
Okay. So now I
have to do a flat check.
Yeah. Posthumous flat check.
That seems off.
Retroactive flat check.
You become concealed for one. Yeah, an enemy strike would hit you, and you weren't already concealed, hidden, or undetected by that enemy. Your body flickers momentarily into the ethereal plane. You become concealed for one round, and the flat check for concealment applies to the strike that would have hit you.
Okay, cool.
There you go.
Wow. Okay, that answers that.
That's been here since episode one.
Okay, so flat check now to possibly negate the crit. Three.
Eerie flickers, I think, first work.
Will
work in 90 plus episodes.
That's awesome.
And if the flat check fails, the strike misses you.
The strike misses you.
Now amazing.
Now you roll your flatty.
Okay.
Flatty boom batty.
10. Made it. Ooh.
All right,
made
so
it.
Now, not unlike Buggles, your deviant now goes up to DC 10. Should you choose to use it again today?
But you're also concealed this whole round. Is there another one attack?
Rest of the combat.
Yeah, all right, so this next one goes to attack you. First, the flat check. Made the flat check. Okay. And then, natural 2 on the attack.
Wow!
The next one goes to attack Buggles, who is still in concealment, and I failed with a natural 2.
Oh, this is amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the two that are going to attack Zephyr, who is also in concealment.
Which one are you doing first? I'm only off guard to one.
The first one that's not, you're not off guard to. First concealment, natural 4.
Oh my gosh.
And now the one you're off guard to, first concealment, barely with a 9, and now this is against your off guard AC. Natural 3.
Oh my god.
What? Dude, you are ice cold.
Waste!
What
of her
a cool
first
spell
action.
She did.
Yeah, we all give her the middle finger.
We're all just,
Wow, that's a real That's a real pain.
Did you say first action?
Yeah, that was just one action for her to do that.
To command all of them? Wow.
Yeah, hissing command. She uses a swift command in Necrol to strike at adjacent enemies. Any Black Frost zombie, it has to be within 30 feet, so I'm going to have to close on you first before doing that, can use a reaction to make a melee strike. So going back, there's a reason I didn't want to close on you first. She closes to make sure they're all within 30 feet, and then she does that. So she now has one action left.
Wait, she's 30 feet in the air. I mean, to get a little Jonsky on.
Pythagorean.
Right, she'd have to kind of swift.
She'd have to be over top of us.
Pythagoras? Is that you?
That's a good point.
She could also just come lower.
Yeah, she's gonna fly lower. I forgot about the 30 feet. That's on me. She's basically hovering over the ground on the other side of the rift at this point. However, as she comes in like this, there is an aura about her, an aura of fear. All of you automatically become frightened one.
No save. Damn it, we had the plus one to
just
that.
Being within that aura, you are frightened one, and that affects all of you.
And it doesn't go down as long as we're in the
aura. As long as you're in the aura, that doesn't go down.
I think I might have. No, I guess I have something that would ordinarily combat an effect like this, but I don't think it would have. I don't know.
You want to talk it through?
Yeah. So every day now, I haven't said this, but like every day, first thing, I'm casting Mind of Menace on myself. The spell wards against those who would attempt to subvert your mind and turns mental magic back on them. When the spell is complete, you gain the Fight with Fear reaction once you use the reaction spell as. Fight with Fear. Trigger, a creature that I can see uses a mental effect against me. Effect, the triggering creature must attempt a will save, which would have various effects.
Okay. That's interesting. This is a spell that you cast on yourself to ward you against mental magic.
Yes.
Spell wards those attempt turns
Does this
mental
effect
magic
have the mental trait? This aura. You speak up.
Yes, but that's not the point, right?
I'll save it for if the next kind of thing. If there's a new thing.
Yeah, but if there's a new thing, why wouldn't it just like the whole thing if she fails the will save? Also, you know, you're hemming and hawing on this. Like, just roll the will save.
Well, but I don't think I'm starting to read this now, and I feel like I don't have to roll the will save at all, even on this next thing. Like, it's against mental magic. She just has this aura that is natural to her being. It's not
magical. It's not magical frightened.
There's not like it.
But what are its traits?
It doesn't have the magical trait.
Well, this is why I wasn't sure, because ordinarily it's just like this is a targeted
spell,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
An area effect, whatever.
I mean, there's shit she can do where that'll really come in handy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not applicable
I
here,
was so just excited to use Mind of Mencia.
I know. It's always fun to say. It. It's good to bring him back into the zeitgeist, too.
It is.
Seems
it
like
is.
A cool guy. Yeah. All right, so first action, she moves up. You're all frightened once. Second action, she does the thing, the hissing command, which just couldn't have gone off more poorly. Third and final action, heinous. She will she'll shoot an arrow at Brother Ramius, just to get you involved a little bit here.
I love not being involved.
That's going to be the old Larry Bird 33.
Kareem!
That is a hit, of course. Not a crit.
Hit, not a crit, and not too bad, 17 points of piercing damage.
17 points of piercing
damage. Okay, that is her, unfortunately, very lackluster turn. However, Brother Ramius, at the start of your turn, this aura around her that is affecting all of you, automatically making you take the frightened one condition, starts to force an element of despair on you, a despair that could just rack you with paralyzation. Give me a will save.
Oh, no.
Paralyzation?
You don't want that.
That is an unacceptable effect.
I understand.
I would like to know.
And this is, you take this with the penalty from frightened.
Yes, I'm aware.
Just making sure.
just making sure. Oh, God. So mad. Oh, I hate it so much! Ever since I got the feat that all will save successes or critical successes, I can't succeed.
No.
Just getting a die ready.
Got that bottle cap. Is it worth it?
No, it is not worth it. I'm going to say 28.
Guidance?
28. 29.
Ooh.
You're all right.
Yeah! I knew it was like right on the line. Single digi.
And that's a critical success.
And it's a critical success. So I'm all right. So I can act.
You are also immune to that.
That's what I wanted to
that
know.
That extra ability. You remain frightened one, yeah. But the worst does not happen.
Okay.
Foul creatures!
So bad at this.
Foul creatures! Go back from what you came!
And he's going to try to shoot everybody into the crevasse, flavor-wise. I do have another Divine Wrath that emanates from the prayer beads. I can do once per day.
Do it!
So it just centered on us. He just grabs the beads and just... Now it has a lower save DC.
I was going to say, is the save DC good?
Yeah,
down?
It's a lower save DC, but, you know, it still targets all of them, which is that's awesome. Great. All five of them. Go ahead and give me a save.
Okay. It's fortitude. Fortitude. All right, so I'm just going to go. I'm going to start with the zombie next to Gick, go around as I did the attacks of opportunity, and then I will roll for her. So first zombie, 29.
Success.
Second one, 18.
Fail.
Not a crit fail?
Not this time. 18.
Okay, and then a 27.
Success.
And then a 32.
Success.
And a 26.
Exactly success.
Oh,
so one fail, four successes.
Two fails.
One
fail.
Who's
the other? I think just the second one failed. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all successes.
Yeah. All right.
I don't even want to roll the damage now. Just let's pretend I didn't do anything.
And then for her, very bad roll, 27.
Success. Oh, yeah, because she's in it, yeah. But that's still a success.
Yeah.
It wasn't before, but now it is.
So half damage to everyone, no second.
Better roll this time, though. That is 27 to the one that failed, and second if it wasn't already.
Yep, they're all second.
27, and then 13 to everybody.
Okay, so that's you've gone to the well a few times, but it has helped.
Yes.
You're chipping away. Even though she didn't take much, 13 points of damage? You know, any damage helps against her because, you know, if they have a lot of hit points, you can assume she does as well.
Now they're up on him. He's going to try this new ability. He's going to close his eyes for a moment, even as these things are swarming on him, and say, Grasta, I know you guide us. I know you protect us. I have nothing to fear. And I'm going to try Sacred Defense, that new thing that I got at 10th level. So I'm going to roll a DC 30 religion check to try to generate temporary hit points for myself for the combat. Natural one. You lose 50 20 hit points.
No critical fail.
I'm not even going to look.
I think you
I'm not going to read.
I have to know. I have to know if there's a penalty
for
failing at these horrible things.
Your deity withholds their blessing. You cannot attempt to call Sacred Defense again for one day.
Oh, wow.
Normally, it's every hour.
Stop calling me!
I mean, way up here in the Nameless Spires, like, Grasta is not...
I'm alone.
You've lost the connection.
No!
Oh, my gosh.
He has no power here.
Yeah, I like that. See if that adds into your role play at all. Okay, very good. Good little round there for Ramius. Could have been better. It is now Buggles' turn. Buggles, you're still in that concealment from this black-blue smoke that is now surrounding a corpse of a corpse.
Okay. He is going to cast Fire Shield on himself.
There it is.
Around him. And then in the shroud of flames and smoke, he turns towards this flying creature.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to do Intimidating Glare.
Oh, first give me a will save.
Oh.
Sorry. We made such a big deal about your will save.
That is a 25.
You're paralyzed for 3 rounds.
All right. Damn. Great.
Ugh.
This kid's favorite ability in all editions of Pathfinder.
It's like you fucked up at home and your parents put you in timeout.
Yeah.
It's like you're grounded. You're grounded for three rounds.
No cell phone.
No cell phone.
Except you didn't do anything.
Except I didn't do anything except try to play this game.
Frozen in place. Love.
Oh my God.
Off guard.
Oh my God.
Can't act except to recall knowledge and use mental actions as determined by the GM.
So you can cast.
Dude, for a psychic, this is fine. Yeah.
Well, except I've already established that there's like sort of a somatic component to all this stuff.
Your senses still function, but only in the areas you can perceive without moving, so you can't seek.
This is like pretty wild. I say this a lot about these kind of enemies, but I'm like, what if she just comes up to you, does nothing, and everybody is just paralyzed?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what?
We die. I don't know.
You just die.
Because you get die. Well, here's the thing is you can't be paralyzed again. Just as you're immune to this ability now for 24 hours, after like those three rounds end, you go back to.
Is it just action. A set three rounds, or do you roll?
Well, no, it's a roll.
Oh, okay.
So it could have been a little worse.
1d4?
A little bit better. This changes everything. The zombie next to Gick is now there with three possible actions, and it's going to start unloading them. First action, it will go to punch Gick, and that's going to be a 25.
Miss.
Wow. Wily little Gick.
Second action, also a 25.
Yes.
And then, stupidly, for its third action, it moves up into flanking with you, with his friend. I don't know why he didn't do that the first two rounds, but that's on me. So then it moves up towards Ramius. They're not smart. They don't know about flanking. However, this one that is flanking Zephyr does flat check against your concealment, makes it, and then goes to bite you with a 26.
Miss.
Misses nice. With a 26.
Awesome.
And then a natural one on the concealment check.
There we go.
What's his name?
No.
Third concealment makes it, but just shooting for the stars here. Miss, miss, miss.
Hell yeah.
And now it is Gick's turn. Gick, I need you to roll a will save.
A will save, okay. Okay.
It's gotta be like your best one, right?
It certainly is. That's gonna be a...
Frightened.
I know.
You're frightened.
I know.
So
a 33.
Oh, dude.
And it's a crit if it's, yeah.
Yeah, you're fine.
Critical success, Larry.
Nice.
Larry.
Okay. Can't be affected by it for the rest of your life.
Okay.
The
rest of your life.
I think seeing it happen to Buggles, it scared Gick straight. She was like, oh, I don't want that.
I don't want to be stupid like Buggles.
I don't want that at all. I don't want to be paralyzed.
Fuck that guy.
I want to go to my room.
Okay, so, so now we know that my Dirge of Doom would do nothing on these guys. So
no
it's mental. It would do nothing on them.
Could affect her. But she is seemingly unaffected by your charms.
Also, they're all sickened.
I know. It's just this is a tough one for me because most of mine is like living creatures and just mental stuff. It's all mental stuff. Okay, so I'm just going to try to get to the heart of it and go for her. Gick is summoning even though she's... a little scared. She starts this whistling from the back of her throat, and it's like the Mariah Carey whistle tones. This, it's like so high pitched, only dogs can hear it.
Nobody wants that.
And
not Christmas yet.
I cast a painful vibration, so I'm going to need a fortitude save. Maybe you're less fortitudinous.
Okay, and this is against Aquendia.
Aquendia.
All right, a little painful. Vibrationes. Fortitude save, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. She is not sickened. Ooh, 26.
26 is a fail. Ooh.
What?
Nice.
So you take full damage, you're sickened one, and you're deafened for one round.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Interesting. Wow.
So you're going to take, hold on.
What?
Ooh, mathing it. 35 points of, I believe it's Sonic. Yes.
Roll?
Online, yeah. It was
8. Gotcha.
It was 8d6. Like... It was too many.
35 sickened and deafened for how long?
For one round.
Sickened and deafened for one round. That changes things a little bit.
Wow, yep. Nice. Chunk of damage, too.
And yeah, 35 Sonic. So hopefully that all goes through.
Okay.
So that is my first two actions. Mm-hmm. And then...
Painful vibration.
This is round three.
No, it's round four.
Right, so my...
No, it's round three. It is round three.
So my lingering comp is still going then for this round. Lasts for three rounds. So
you did Divine Wrath, Divine Wrath, Divine Wrath.
That, yep.
I'm not going to cast anything else because it'll cancel it out, but I will cast Guidance on Buggles as my final action.
Guidance on Buggles.
Oh. Just to, I don't know.
Saves, yeah.
Saves against it or to...
No, there could be stuff that goes on that he still gets saves against.
Yeah.
It is the zombie's turn next to Zephyr back there, also next to Buggles. It is going to first move up towards Ramius, and then it's going to second action. It's going to attack Zephyr. First, the concealment, 16 makes it, and then fist strike is a 30 against Zephyr.
It's...
Finally gets through to Zephyr, and Zephyr takes 10 points of bludgeoning, and you won't take the 4 cold that's associated with that. And then it goes after Ramius, who is off guard to it. No concealment, but it does have the map. This is going to be a 22.
It's a miss.
Gets you off guard. Okay.
It's off guard, yeah.
All right, so it comes up there, finally finds purchase upon Zephyr's supple elf body, but then misses against an off guard.
It was too supple.
Too supple. Misses against an off guard. Ramius, Zephyr, I need you, primary damage dealer of this party, to roll against paralysis.
We need you. You have a cap.
Frightful.
You have a cap, don't you?
Presence. Yeah, you got a cap.
Grabbing the cap.
Ugh.
Cap grabbing?
Rolled natural 2.
Oh my gosh.
Oops.
It couldn't possibly be a worse roll.
Well,
don't.
There's
you,
no way.
Well, Skid.
Why would you say that?
You should be paralyzed over there.
I can't imagine a lower number than 2.
Swear to God. Same.
Same?
I was 2. Right.
That's almost worse.
So that's going to be 16 total.
Well, the good news is it won't be hard for me to track the number of rounds you guys are paralyzed because they're both 3.
Oh, God.
Gick and Ramius are the only 2 active combatants. And we'll see you next week.
Oh, my God.
Great time for lunch.
We're screwed. You and me, we're screwed.
So you guys alone next week.
Yeah, just us recording. You guys take a break.
Let's go to the Adirondacks or something.
Yeah, take a trip.
Have a day. Oh. Fishing.
Have fun, guys.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself and see what everybody's talking about when you join the Niche today.
American history is full of infamous tales that continue to captivate audiences decades or even hundreds of years after they happened. On the Infamous America podcast, you'll hear the true stories of the Salem witch trials and the escape attempts from Alcatraz, of bank robbers like John Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd, of killers like Lizzie Borden and Charles Starkweather, of mysteries like the Black Dahlia and D.B. Cooper, and of events that inspired movies like Goodfellas, Killers of the Flower Moon, Zodiac, 8 Men Out, and many more. I'm Chris Wimmer. Join me as we crisscross the country from the Miami drug wars and Dixie Mafia in the South, to mobsters in Chicago and New York, to arsonists, kidnappers, and killers in California, to unsolved mysteries in the heartland and in remote corners of Alaska. Every episode features narrative writing and cinematic music, and there are hundreds of episodes available to binge. Find Infamous America wherever you get your podcasts. The Old West is an iconic period of American history and full of legendary figures whose names still resonate today, like Jesse James, Billy the Kid, and Butch and Sundance, Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse, and Geronimo, Wyatt Earp, Bat Masterson, and Bass Reeves, Buffalo Bill Cody, Wild Bill Hickok, the Texas Rangers, and many more. Hear all their stories on the Legends of the Old West podcast. We'll take you to Tombstone, Deadwood, and Dodge City, to the plains, mountains, and deserts for battles between the U.S. Army and Native American warriors, to dark corners for the disaster of the Donner Party, and shining summits for achievements like the Transcontinental Railroad. We'll go back to the earliest days of explorers and mountain men and head up through notorious Pinkerton agents and gunmen like Tom Horn. Every episode features narrative writing and cinematic music, and there are hundreds of episodes available to binge. I'm Chris Wimmer. Find Legends of the Old West wherever you're listening now.